Welcome to your weekly English radio magazine on CJMQ 88.9 FM in Sherbrooke and CIDI 99.1 FM in the Lake Brome area. It's the Friday Drive, news commentary, 30-30 sports, arts and culture, and the interview of the week. Local events and issues for townshippers from townshippers. The Friday Drive starts right now with your host, Daniel Coulomb. 30-30 Sports on the Friday Drive.
.430, starting it off with John Edwards right here on Sports on the Friday Drive. John, would have to think that you were in front of that television last weekend watching both games of the NFL.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, glued to the TV. There's an imprint of my butt in the couch after Sunday. Yep, for sure.
I would think so. Let's start with that Philadelphia game. Your thoughts about that?
I was really surprised that Washington apparently has no run defense. Yeah. I mean, Saquon Barkley is good, and what the Giants were doing, letting him go in the first place and letting him go to a division rival in the second, is just bonkers. That Washington sort of had no answer for that, because given the way they've been playing the last couple of months, I mean, they sort of looked like a, you know, maybe a team of destiny, and the old magic carpet ride came to an end 2 weeks early.
If you're a Giants fan, you're sitting at home, you're looking at what Saquon's doing. How do you feel?
Pretty angry at your general manager right now.
I would think so.
Because even if you're at a point where it's not going to work in New York and you have to trade him, for the love of all that's holy, send him to the other conference, not to a team where you're going to have to play him twice a year.
That's amazing. All right, the Bills game. Ms. Swift, tell me what your thoughts were on that one.
We're now seeing the 2020s equivalent of those Patriots-Colts games from about 15 years ago, with about the same result that, you know, at some point, I think Manning got one of those against Tom Brady, and it's looking like the same is going to happen between the Bills and the Chiefs. It's just, for whatever reason, when playoff time comes, the Chiefs seem to have the Bills' number. And it
got plenty of friends in Buffalo, and you still can't talk with them 5 days after the game.
Oh, no. It'll take them a while to get over. I mean, it's not as bad as no goal, but yeah, that one's going to sting for probably until the next season starts.
All right. We get the John Edwards pick for the Super Bowl next Friday. Okay.
Yep.
But it's still amazing, John, that a league with a $22 billion revenue thing measures first downs in 2025 with sticks.
It's hilarious. We've got technology that can tell us where a tennis ball lands, where a baseball passes through an imaginary box, how fast a puck got shot. You know, two dudes running in from 20 yards out and then two other dudes rolling in with a link of chain and a couple of sticks. It's crazy. And, you know, it has to change. I've been on stickers. It's imprecise. You may or may not be lining it up exactly where the ball is when you start. And then, you know, getting the spot is, especially on a fourth down play like that was, you do the best you can, but you're not necessarily going to have a clear view of it. And you get a situation like you had last week where the one guy comes in on one side of the 40 and the other guy comes in on the other side of the 40. And I think the UFL was working with this last year, where they put a microchip in the ball and used that to determine where the ball was and get rid of measurements.
Well, fix it. In basketball, Jimmy Butler in Miami is the worst fiasco I've seen any sport go through. Let me get this straight. Jimmy Butler makes $50 million per year with Miami, but the negotiations for the following contract isn't going the way he'd like to. He's 35 years old, and so at this point he figures, I'll sulk.
He's 35, he wants to be paid like he's 25, and he's watched a few too many Marie Kondo videos because he's decided the Heat no longer spark joy, so he wants to be rid of them. They've suspended him. They're going to try to trade him, but given what's happened, they're not going to be able to get much for him because everybody knows that the Nets are going to try and trade him, so the possible return has gone down. But it's typical of what's gone on in the NBA over the last, you know, 30 to 40 years, and is firmly now a players' league. And they're the ones running the show.
By principle, if you're paid $50 million for this year, shouldn't you give $50 million worth of effort to the team that's paying you?
You would think so. You know, I'm not getting paid $50 billion, so maybe my mind would be different if I...
John, just this message. The Airsliff Winter Carnival is held tomorrow in Tyler Park. Parking at the Airsliff Fairgrounds, fun for the entire family. Hey, there's broom ball, and there's 4-H outdoor activities and free hot dogs. That's the part I like. And sleigh rides and prizes for costumes and sugar on snow and snowshoes, all happening tomorrow at Airsliff. Now you know, okay?
Well, that's my Saturday sorted.
There you go. Talk to you at 5:30.
We'll see you then.
Of course there's music, but we also talk about a lot of issues that matter to you. You're listening to The Friday Drive on CJMQ 88.9 FM and CIDI 99.1 FM.
I won't try to argue now. Anyway, I feel there's nothing I could say to ease your mind. Maybe there's nothing exciting outside around here. I'm just wasting my time. Spinning round on nothing new. And when I close my eyes, I remember that kiss. I'd rather keep them wide open. And if I miss the train, do you really think that even here I'd be closing? Chase down, but sometimes I bite off more than I can chew. I know you like to keep me near. I know it's easier to be too, but I can't plan my life all around you. I'm weaker than I'll let you know. So don't ask me to jump this wall. From here it looks too tall. Two people kissing goodbye, facing a door. Classic picture. We're all at the wrong time, but the timing is always wrong. Here I am, leaving soon, and I'm standing at gate 22, cause whatever you may think I forgot, you know I'm still thinking about it. Sometimes I wish you could stay. No matter where I go, no matter how long, you know I'll keep hanging on, sweet.
The Weekly News Review with longtime Townships journalist Mike McDevitt on the Friday Drive.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the 223rd time on these airwaves, Michael McDevitt is here with the Weekly News Review on the Friday Drive. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Daniel. How you doing?
Very, very well. On a scale of 1 to 10, what did you think when we first started the probabilities were that we'd hit 223?
When we first started?
Yeah.
1 in 15, maybe?
I thought you were going to say 1 in a million, but anyway.
Well, no, I mean, because that's not a reasonable odds. I just didn't think it would last this long. I thought you'd be able to get somebody better.
We want to keep going with you, so there.
Well, I love that.
All right. The plane crash in Washington Wednesday night, Michael.
Yeesh.
The plane collided with a helicopter and fell into the Potomac River. You wonder how this stuff doesn't happen more often with everything flying up in the sky. There were no survivors. I hate that feeling of helplessness when you're in the plane going into descent. The news is bad, but man, it reminds you of how amazing in general those pilots are and what they can do.
Well, yes, and with the air traffic controllers, but I'm curious, it hasn't been made clear to me. Did the plane crash into the helicopter or did the helicopter crash into the plane?
You know, it's dark and those things fly real fast, and I suppose there must be warning systems in the cockpit. But again, you know, between the moment you hear something and then try to assess what's going on, bad things can happen real fast.
Certainly. And this is, you know, there are no survivors in either aircraft. It's a bad news situation.
It scares the bejesus out of me and our thoughts with everyone affected there.
Well, of course, thoughts and prayers.
All right. The good news is that the Trump presidency now only has 207 weeks to go, Michael. Canada has been singled out as one of the two countries who, it would seem, according to the president, is equally responsible for the fentanyl and migrant crisis in the United States at this point. If Donald Trump goes ahead with his 25% tariff tomorrow, it will be extremely difficult to financially compensate for the revenue losses on products that Quebec export to the United States. Now, the low dollar may help, but there are no guarantees that the 25% won't become 50%. In terms of exported products alone, the United States accounts for nearly 74% of all of Quebec's exports worldwide. In 2023, we exported products worth a total of $88 billion to the United States. Closest clients in terms of exports, including China and France and Mexico, are $16 billion combined. In 2023, we had a gigantic trade surplus of $44.5 billion, or as the Donald says, the U.S. is giving us a grant. I'm looking for solutions, Michael. Interprovincial trade?
Well, that's not a solution, but it would be nice if we would finally get there. Trump was saying that they don't need anything that we sell them. Well, that may be true. They can cut down their own trees and drill more oil and build refineries to actually refine it. They're not buying our products because they like us. We're very polite. They're buying our electricity because it's cheap. They're buying our crude oil because it's cheap. And that's the single thing. So do they need us? No, not in the long term, they don't. But we could also say overnight, okay, well, that's enough electricity for you, New York. That would hurt them a lot because New York City runs on Quebec electricity. If it comes to a war, trade war, it's beginning to look like it might, but I'm not convinced yet. But it is beginning to look like it might. There are things we can do to make him pay. We're not going to win a long trade war, but if he's determined to set up an isolationist all-America policy, there's not much we can do about that except increase our trade otherwise. The provinces could certainly do themselves a favor by getting rid of their interprovincial barriers because there's a lot of them. We start selling things to Europe. We got a low dollar now. Now, not electricity, mind you, but natural gas, oil, we could sell that elsewhere.
This cutting of electricity to the United States makes me squirm. I mean, for crying out loud, I come from a generation of loyalty that would never do something like that.
We got to be realistic about it. If we're going to go all in and fight this thing, we're going to have to make some sacrifices and make a few enemies.
I understand that Mr. T down south isn't fighting fair, so...
No, he's not. It's totally unreasonable. He wants us to stop him killing hundreds of thousands of Americans from crossing your border. Well, Canada sends, according to the American DEA, 3% of the United States fentanyl. 3%. You know, are we going to stop all of it? No. It's a good market for fentanyl. And if people are making it, transporting it through here, that's going to happen. We can cut it down at the border, but we can't stop every truck that crosses the border.
The irony there is, think of all the cheap weapons that are coming up north from the United States.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, I would venture a guess that that's probably hurting us more than fentanyl going south is hurting them.
The problem is that Canadians dying of gunshot wound isn't hurting Trump any at all.
All right, we'll wait and see. Artificial intelligence is rapidly transforming our societies. A group of 96 experts from 30 countries has published an international report on the safety of advanced AI. If AI holds great potential for society, it also presents significant risks that must be carefully managed. The report identified three main areas of risk related to AI. The first threat, Michael, concerns the malicious use of AI, which can be exploited by cyber criminals or groups, and also how AI can make disinformation even more effective than ever.
I can just imagine that students these days are using it to write their essays. That's only a minor problem. As far as disinformation, as far as the arts, it doesn't bode well. And let's face it, every new technology is exploited first by the nefarious and then by big corporations. Well, yeah. It's big corporations now that are doing it. If it can be used for evil purposes, it will be.
Second major category of risk concerns AI system malfunctions, which can lead to biased or erroneous decisions. Already, algorithms used in the medical field have generated incorrect recommendations.
Probably eliminates a lot of human error, but AI doesn't have instincts. And good doctors have instincts. Artificial intelligence is already an important factor in the way our medicine is handed out. I don't remember any technology that we spend millions of dollars developing that we don't use. I don't know of any.
Finally, experts are concerned about the systemic risks linked to AI, which could profoundly disrupt our economy and society. One major concern is the impact on the job market. According to an MIT report, AI could threaten up to 40% of current jobs by 2035.
Well, that's encouraging, too.
Yeah, it sure is.
Thanks. If the system is being run by AI, we got a whole bunch of worries right there.
In the continued positivity department, Michael, humanity is as its closest yet to destroying itself, according to Tuesday's reset of the ominous doomsday clock. The symbolic clock now reads 89 seconds to midnight after advancing 1 second since last year's reset. It is now the closest to midnight since the introduction of the clock in 1947. The world is less safe and less stable than it was a year ago, says the chair of the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists Science and Security Board. There are active conflicts involving nuclear powers. Then misinformation, disinformation, and conspiracies are a threat multiplier. Michael, why would anyone, I don't care where you live, why would anyone want to launch a nuclear bomb on anyone else?
Well, the only way I can see it actually happening is if somebody, some government, just refuses to lose. And they're looking at a situation in which traditional military situations tell them you're going to lose. Israel or India or Pakistan, I can't see the Americans doing it, but the Russians might.
The Russians more than ever. According to reports, they are near financial ruin. And here's an important part for Russia as well. Demographic numbers are awful. That country could be wiped off the map as we know it within about 50 to 100 years. They have nothing to lose.
They've lost an awful lot of soldiers. Most of the citizens of Russia aren't Russian. They have no real card in the game, but they don't seem to be worried about it. I don't know whether that's artificial sense of security that propaganda is giving them.
It doesn't help that everything you watch on TV or hear on radio is pro-Putin.
But you know what? Turn on CNN and watch them and see how critical they've been. They don't challenge him when they have to. They ask softball questions. They take his answers. And as long as he answers them, they're happy because then they can later on get a couple of talking heads to make fun of Trump. Well, that doesn't help because, you know, basically the only people that are listening are preaching to the crowd.
Putin offered this week to negotiate with Ukraine, but doesn't want to negotiate directly with Vladimir Zelensky.
Can imagine they have a few grudges against him.
I would think so. Oh, man. Michael McDevitt every week right here on the Friday Drive. Thank you again, Michael. Yeah, enjoy the warm weather. And enjoy the warm weather.
Yeah, when's it coming?
We're only weeks, if not months, away. And I talk to you next week.
Okay, take care.
If you have any comments or questions regarding what you hear on today's show, email us at cjmqnews@yahoo.ca. Time for your weekly information from the Lake Brome, Missisquoi area on the Friday Drive.
Reporting from the Brome, Missisquoi region with stories for you from this week. It's the world famous and the much appreciated Taylor McClure. Trust you're doing well.
Doing okay today, Daniel. Hope things are good on your end.
Very well. Taylor, you wanted to talk about service dogs.
Yeah, so I wanted to speak a little about service dogs being introduced in the judicial systems here in the province. The Judicial District of Bedford, which serves many areas in Brome, Missisquoi, and the Montérégie, like Bedford, Brigham, Brome, Loch Brome, Pawton, Granby, Farnham, etc., has seen the introduction of a service dog named Mando, who is helping victims of violence during the court process by providing emotional support to victims. Coordinating the initiative is Les Centres d'aide aux victimes d'actes criminels and the Mira Foundation. And Les Centres d'aide aux victimes d'actes criminels is a provincial organization that provides services and support to any victim of crime or witness. And there's branches across the province, including here in the Eastern Townships. So I spoke with Karine Gagnon, who's the Organizational Support and Development Coordinator for the CABACS, which is the abbreviation for Les Centres d'Aide aux Victimes d'Actes Criminels, who mentioned that service dogs have played an important role on police teams over the years. However, the needs for emotional support led the Ministry of Justice here in the province to establish a program where the CABACS in the province have support animals on their teams to accompany the clientele they work with, specializing in violence and sexual and domestic violence. Mando was trained with the Mira Foundation, which I'm sure most people have heard of, before starting official duties. And these service dogs are accompanied by intervention agents that work with the CABACS. These dogs complement the work of the intervention agents, and they can actually sit with victims during the court process to provide emotional support for those victims that might be having difficulties with their court case or who are facing a traumatic court process or experience. There are other service dogs in the province. I think there are about 7 at this moment in time that Karine mentioned, but they're working on getting more service dogs on duty. It just takes time as they have to go through training with the Mira Foundation to ensure that they really know how to go about supporting the victims. So this is just a really great initiative that's happening here in the province, and our area is one of the areas that are lucky enough to benefit from this. It's great to see.
It's absolutely great. Mira is such a fine organization indeed.
Yeah, and I wanted to mention too that if anyone is looking for more information about this or who is looking to have access to this service, you can reach out to your local CABAC, which is the CABAC Estrie in our case, and they will help you and they will help get that process going. So if ever anyone wants more information, I suggest just looking on the Mira Foundation's website and the CABAC's website as well.
The wonderful Taylor McClure is heard on CIDI-FM, and you can check out her daily news bits over CIDI991.com. If you want more information, there's a wonderful picture of her and all that good stuff. Thank you. Have a great weekend. Talk next week.
You too, Daniel. Thanks a lot.
Township's weather for Friday night, clouds, low minus 17. Tomorrow, first of the month, sunny, high minus 15. Saturday night, clear, low minus 25. Sunday, periods of snow, high minus 7. Long rains Monday, periods of snow or rain, and a high of plus 4 degrees. Ed Humphrey, Townshipers Association, is up just after 5 o'clock with everything going on in the townships. 5:10, interview of the week. Jennifer Bauer from Mental Health History. 5:30 Sports, John Edwards. 5:40 Arts and Culture with Sonia Patnode. All on the Friday Drive at CJMQ and CIDI-FM.